Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at AloraModernWellness.com.
You guys know that if we're talking about Mississippi State versus Tennessee, that Ben McKee from GoVols 24/7 is going to be joining us on the podcast. And Ben, I'm not a big moral victory, you know, take, you know, a good loss, whatever you want to call it kind of thing. But I thought that Tennessee's performance against Georgia was about as much positive as you can take from a loss. And then, you know, they bounced back with a massive victory over a not a really good UAB team, but they handled them so easily. I think this Tennessee team is really, really good. Have they outperformed your preseason expectations?
Yes, because of how they performed against Georgia. And just more big picture, the offense is much further ahead than I anticipated. I think the last time you had me on, I voiced my concerns about Tennessee's passing game and that being more about the receivers than Joey Aguilar. I mean, there was concern with Joey just because of the nature of his offseason. I didn't really know what to expect just getting here in May and not having a ton of time to learn the offense and develop chemistry with his receivers, the rest of the offensive players. And I mean, it's like he was the starting quarterback on last year's playoff team over Nico. It's not like this offseason happened at all. And I think that's a huge credit to who he is as a person, being 24 years old, I believe it is, and just being mature and not getting too high, not getting too low. He reminds me a lot of Hendon Hooker, to be honest with you, with his leadership and his personality. And I think that's really helped him transition seamlessly despite the nature of his offseason. So you didn't know what to expect given the offseason. I was concerned about the receivers, and Chris Brazel did not at all expect this Chris Brazel to show up to where Todd McShay in week three is talking about him potentially being the number one receiver off of the board and looking like the best player on the field against Georgia. I did not at all see that coming. Braylon Staley, Mike Matthews, they're further ahead than I anticipated. So they are further ahead than I anticipated. I mean, I thought they were, I picked them to go 9-3. Mm-hmm. Georgia has had their number so distinctly. I mean, it's been dominating performances from Georgia, and that was not the case. And Tennessee fans, I feel like, should be as optimistic as they've ever been under Josh Heupel, because the gap is not much of a gap between Josh Heupel and Kirby Smart, at least for this season. So with that performance and the passing game being much further ahead than I anticipated, they are ahead of schedule, even if I do have some concerns on the opposite side of the football.
For me, the thing that gives Mississippi State the best chance to win is this is Tennessee's first road game of the season. They did play a neutral site game, but I think you and I both know that was played. That was basically a Tennessee home game there in Atlanta. Mississippi State just announced that this game is a hard sellout. They're expecting 65 or close to 65,000 in Davis-Wade Stadium. I looked at Joey Aguilar. You know, never played obviously at Tennessee in this kind of environment. Last year they played at Clemson when he was at App State, but you and I both know second game of the year, non-conference game, that's not the most intense environment at Death Valley. Is Tennessee prepared to come into a Starkville crowd that is, I'll just go ahead and tell you, it is chomping at the bit to get into the stadium on Saturday?
I can imagine. I hate that I'm not going to be able to travel and not be able to be there this weekend.
Your ears will thank you, though.
I've heard. I've covered Mississippi State basketball games and certainly been over to baseball when Tennessee has been in town. I haven't been able to check football off the bucket list, and so I'm missing, particularly this weekend with how geared up the fans appear to be. I think that Tennessee is going to be able to handle the environment, but do you ever really know when a team is handling it for the first time? What I just got done saying about Joey Aguilar and being older and his personality, I mean, he truly is cool as a cucumber, cool as the other side of the pillow. I mean, he does not get too high. He does not get too low. He truly does a phenomenal job of playing one play to the next and not getting rattled. So, but this is still his first SEC, true SEC road test. So you don't know until you go out there. So I think they'll handle it. I would be surprised. I think if they lose, it'll be because of the Tennessee secondary or Tennessee's offense just not being able to. I just think they won't play well if they
Right.
lose. I don't think it'll be a product of the environment, but certainly at all not trying to diminish what will be one of the best environments in college football this weekend. I'm fascinated to see how they handle it. I just kind of fall back on Josh Heupel's track record, and outside of the loss to South Carolina in 22 and Hendon Hooker tore his ACL early in the game, and the last couple of trips to Athens to play Georgia, road games have not been a huge issue at all for Heupel's teams in terms of being prepared to play. I don't think people talk enough about how great of a job Josh Heupel does at getting his team ready to play. That they don't play trap games because Heupel does such a great job of making sure his team is focused on the here and now and not looking ahead or making sure that they get over a heartbreaking loss to Georgia, something along those lines. So it's going to be a really tough test for Tennessee this weekend. I do have a lot of confidence in Josh Heupel and the players that this team's player leadership. So I would be surprised if the environment affects them a great deal, but it is certainly going to be a tall task.
So I love Tennessee's defensive philosophy, which is we're a little weak in the secondary, so let's just sack the quarterback every play. That's what's been going on with Tennessee. Their defensive line has been really fierce, and that's what, losing James Pierce from a season ago, you thought maybe that group wouldn't be as good as it was, but they've been outstanding. This is the matchup for me. State's O-line versus Tennessee's defensive line will determine whether this game is won or lost and who wins it. Why has this defensive line just been so scary good these first four games?
Because Rodney Garner is probably the best defensive line coach in America. And it's just, that his unit is always going to be ready to play football. But aside from that, I mean, they have a nice mix of veterans like Bryson Eason and Dominic Bailey, Joshua Josephs, they're just so trustworthy. And they're going to be where they're supposed to be. And they're not going to. Josephs will be flashy because of kind of the nature of his position being an edge rusher, but Dominic Bailey and Bryson Eason on the interior, the announcers are not going to talk about them, but they're going to have as big of an impact on the game as anybody. But then they also have a mix of similar guys to Joshua Josephs, like a Caleb Herring, who has always had the potential, sat behind James Pierce Jr. and Josephs for a couple of years, and now he's really starting to come into his own. There's a couple of younger guys like a Nathan Robinson that's starting to come into his own as well. So it's just a nice mix of veterans that provide great leadership and just consistently make the plays that they need to, but then guys who are going to play in the NFL one day who flash and show up quite a bit. We saw that from Caleb Herring in the Georgia game. But I will say that they're a bit banged up, and that's my concern. I mentioned concerns on the defensive side of the ball, and they have been snake bitten by the injury bug here to start the year at corner, and it's affected them in a big way. And on the interior of the defensive line, and that's hurt them in a big way as well. Georgia was able to run the football on them quite a bit. That good Syracuse offense that I don't think people realize in the moment was good. They were able to move the ball in Tennessee because injuries started to pile up in the second half. And I mentioned Eason and Bailey kind of there on the interior, but they've had guys like Jackson Moy out, who is supposed to be one of their better defensive linemen. And they're also missing David Hobbs as well. Now, I think those guys are going to get back this week. We'll see. That will be a much, much needed boost, but they've been a little thin here to start the year. And that's kind of the matchup within the matchup to watch is just how healthy Tennessee can be. I think they'll be as healthy as they've been to start the year in the month of September, but I'm sure those guys will still be on somewhat of a pitch count. And how effective will they be able to be coming off of an arm injury and an ankle injury?
Mississippi State is a big play offense. I mean, there's just no getting around that. I think I saw a stat that State leads the country in plays of completions of, or at least the conference, I'm sorry, 40 and 50 yard completions. Yeah, they throw the ball down the field. Evans and Thompson are elite speed guys, something State just has not had in the past. Is that your biggest concern for Tennessee, is State's ability to stretch the field and get those big pass plays?
Absolutely. It concerns me more than what will be a great environment. It concerns me more about what we just talked about with the state's offensive line versus Tennessee's defensive line and kind of being banged up a little bit on the interior. Tennessee's just been banged up in the secondary, and I don't really love their safeties either. I don't know that they're a huge issue, but I don't know that they're a difference maker either. And what this reminds me of, I made this point this morning with former Tennessee receiver Jason Swain, is I know Levy's in year two, but it really reminds me of Heupel in year one at Tennessee, to where they just hang around in the ball game
There's a
longer
lot
than
of
people anticipate.
year zero with Jeff
Yes.
Levy last year. Like that team was not built for the SEC. This team, at least through 4 weeks, looks like it can compete.
And it seems like from the outside looking in, I like Chapin. So he had Chapin last year, but in terms of
We got
some,
hurt week four, so.
yes, that does not help. And then and Lebby was able to go out and get playmakers or skill position players that truly fit his offense. And I think back to Velus Jones in 2021, Javonte Payton, a Jabari Small, guys like that, that maybe people outside of Knoxville were not aware of. But you pair the tempo, you pair the scheme, you pair Heupel and Golish with those skill position players, and Hendon Hooker bursting onto the scene, and they just hung around games longer than people anticipated. And you look up at the end of the season, and they're, which for year one, coming off of the Jeremy Pruitt debacle, you end up in an overtime loss to Purdue in the Music City Bowl. And that
Yeah.
is, I mean, people were picking Tennessee to win three or four football games that year, and that's kind of what this Mississippi State team reminds me of. They just hang around longer than they should. And I think it's a byproduct of Levy, his system, the players within the system. And now they're going up against the banged up Tennessee secondary. I love Colton Hood. I think he is a real big time player. That's kind of been a very, very pleasant surprise. You hate that you don't have Ricky Gibson out there. You hate that you don't have Jermaine McCoy out there. Those are NFL corners. Colton Hood's an NFL corner as well. And I'd be surprised if State tests him. State's going to go after Ty Redmond, the true freshman on the opposite side, who is a really good freshman. He's going to have a great career at Tennessee. You saw Georgia pick on him a little bit and have success because of that. So I don't anticipate seeing Jermaine McCoy back out there. I think it's from Tennessee's perspective, he takes the bye week next week and starts October, kind of knocking off some of the rust against Arkansas, and then is back for Alabama. So I think Mississippi State's going to catch a break with that one, who, for those who don't know, Jermaine McCoy,
Outstanding.
arguably the top corner in the country or in the draft coming up. So that's a big win for Mississippi State. And like I said, I have trust in Colton Hood. Boo Carter seems to be coming along at star after his turbulent offseason of just staying in trouble. So kind of circling that Ty Redmond matchup against this Levy offense, I think that's the matchup. The games are always won in the trenches. I get that. But
Right.
I kind of think that's the matchup that's going to dictate how long State hangs around and if they can pull off this upset with the atmosphere backing them.
So last question, and we do this every on our podcast, we pick an offensive and a defensive playmaker, and then we pick an X factor, somebody not going to have the most stats, but maybe they just make a big play within the game. If you had to pick an X factor for Tennessee, who is it in this game?
Ooh, that's a great, great question. I think it's going to have to be on defense, because I think going into this environment, I say it's going to be on defense, but mine just went back to offense. It's going to be Star Thomas on
Okay.
Tennessee's offense. I think that's going to be the X. He's going to have the stats, so I hear what you're saying. I guess where I'm coming from is, I don't think, are Mississippi State fans aware of how good Star Thomas is?
Probably not.
I think Tennessee has three great backs. Really good backs of Star Thomas, Deshaun Bishop, Peyton Lewis, and we're starting to learn here in Knoxville week by week that Star Thomas is a little bit different. He's just a playmaker. I love watching him play football. He's one of my favorite players on Tennessee to watch play football. Transferred in from Duke in the offseason and had as good of an offseason as anybody. Completely transformed his body. He makes plays in the passing game. He does a great job of running the football as a running back, obviously. Has a lot of wiggle, a lot of burst. And I just think Tennessee's really going to need him to have a big game, because I do think the defense is going to be tested a bit. You're going into that environment. Tennessee's got to have to be able to run the football and play defense this weekend in order to win in this type of environment. So Star Thomas is kind of RB1 for Tennessee, so maybe not a true X factor in that regard, but I don't think people outside of Knoxville quite yet realize that, like, Star Thomas is one of the better running backs in the SEC.
it's kind of weary. And these are two offenses that throw the ball down the field. They have big plays, but this is going to be a very old school football game, I feel. You just said it's going to be one in the trenches, defense. I really do think that the more physical football team is going to step forward and get this one. Ben, glad you're doing better, man. Keep on progressing. For those of you who don't know, Ben's in a battle right now. What, do you want to go into any detail there?
Go for it. I'm dealing with that fun C word. So
Yes. So,
thankfully I'm over the hump in terms of treatment. Have fewer weeks left than I do have in front of me. So I'm doing well.
good. That's great to hear. We love you here on Thunder and Lightning, man. You've been our Tennessee guy for a few years now, and keep progressing, and we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Brian. Enjoy the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media production.